God is good. Amen. You know, it's always good to be in God's house. The title of this message that I would like to talk about is about my destiny is greater than my history. My destiny is greater than my history. Perhaps before I go further, let me show you a little bit of pictures here. And I thought it's very interesting to look at what happened in the past and what is happening in our current situation. If you look at the 1916, everybody is reading newspapers. But 2016, people are reading what? Their iPhones. They're getting their news or their messages or the WhatsApp. Look at the next one. In the year 1996, parents are saying, don't play outside too long, and they pull the kids into the house. Today, the parents are trying to get the kids out of the house. Isn't it true? He said, why are you just playing the computer? Get out. Play with your neighbor. And that's a lot of difference right now. Look at the next one. Those days we fly kites, but now we fly drones. Right now, Ezra, 2019. Amen. Look at the next one. 1996, little kids, every one of us, we look at somebody in trouble, we try to help. But look at what happened to 2016. When somebody is drowning, everybody's trying to look and take a snap of that problem. Isn't it? It's true. If you look at the Hong Kong thing, everybody's taking pictures of the fire, and nobody bothers to put the fire off. Look at the next one. 1990. We have such a big TV with a skinny body. But look at year 2017. We have a big body, but a skinny TV. That's a real difference, right? Look at the next one. Well, everybody is crowding around the family. They will love to talk to their family or their parents overseas. But right now, everybody is busy with their mobile phone at the dining table. And the last one I love most. I love this. I think this is a classic one. When you get to the beach in 1996, we wear all the colorful shorts. Right now, everybody is so full of colorful tattoos. This is a humongous change as time passes by. The last one, 1961, the teachers will scold the kids for bad reports. 2011, the parents will be scolding the teachers for the bad report. And I think it's happening in Malaysia too. And this is a huge generation gap. I can identify with this one, all right? The other one probably Brian. And the other one will be me. We have changed a lot. And when your mother is young, the two brothers trying to get the attention of the mom. But when the mom gets older, they're pushing it to each other and say, you look after mom. What a sad thing, isn't it? I thought to myself, when the Lord spoke to me, He says that your destiny is supposed to be greater than your history. But I look at our society today, unfortunately, it's very different. Am I right or not? 50 years ago, every child was taught to respect their parents. Today, we see that a lot of parents are respecting their children because they're afraid their children will do something else. 50 years ago, when we sleep, our windows and doors can be unlocked. But today, you have to make sure it's locked with a big padlock. Isn't it? There are times that we begin to see a humongous change. 50 years ago, villagers were all flocking to the city. They want to find a job. But now, most of the town people are fleeing from the city, going to a quieter place to get away from stress. 50 years ago, rich people pretend to be poor. Today, the poor pretend to be rich. And I'm quite concerned about this because when the Lord says your destiny is going to be greater than your history, but I saw a dilapidation, a society that is collapsing. I saw a situation that needs to be restored. I saw there is a need for us to realize that God's promise of our destiny has to be greater than our history. We need to look at what God is doing. Somebody say amen. Because your greatest days are ahead of you. Somebody say amen again. You are not a finished product. You are a miracle in the making. And besides, you have not reached your potential, by the way. The work of God is beginning to take place in your life and it's not finished. It's not about one that constantly comes to the altar call, but it's about one that constantly seeking God's face. And I saw what happened in the book of Numbers and also in the book of Exodus. Please look into the scripture in the book of Numbers chapter 11 verse 1 to 6. This is a moment when the people have crossed the Red Sea, and then something began to happen. The Bible says in verse 11, the people complained to the Lord about their troubles. When he heard them, he became angry. Fire from the Lord burned among the people. It burned the edge of the camp. So the people cried out to Moses. He prayed to the Lord, and the fire stopped burning. So the place was called Taberah. The people named it that because the Lord's fire had burned among them. Verse 4, some troublemakers among them wanted better food. Soon all the Israelites began complaining. They said, we want meat. We remember the fish we ate for free in Egypt. We also had cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. Can you imagine the complaint? We never see anything but this manna. I began to see that on their way to the promised land, they actually saw miracles that they have never seen before. They saw the Red Sea parted. And not only that, they actually saw the deliverance. The Egyptians were drowned. But sadly, they turn around and complain when they arrive after the Red Sea. I am very concerned that our people today are going back to the place where God took them out. It's very sad that the believers today are going back to their old ways where God has taken them out in the early days before. You see, God took you out because he wants to start a new life for you. He wants you to have a new start, a new chapter. But some of us here today, in this morning, you have crossed the Red Sea, you saw the goodness of God, but you did not appreciate that. And the moment you cross over, things did not get along or come along your way. You decided to complain. You went back to the same bondage that you were once upon a time in that place. And because it did not work well with you in this present time, you look back and ask, what is it that I missed out before? I'm quite concerned for that. I want you to look at another passage. Because I'm going to look into Old Testament and New Testament here. In John chapter 6, it says in verse 30 to 35. So the people asked, what miracle will you do? If we can see a miracle, then we will believe you. What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the desert. This is written in the scripture. God gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses was not the one who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. God's bread is the one who comes down from heaven and gives lives to the world. The people said, sir, give us this bread always. Then Jesus said, I am the bread that gives life. Somebody say amen. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Somebody say amen. And that's a powerful thing. You know, how many of you been to the airport and when you book your seats, especially those budget flights, you want to save some money, so you decided not to book for any seats. And then all of a sudden, the counter decided to choose the seat number for you, and then you discovered that you are smacked right in between. How many of you like to sit in between? When I had one experience that someone booked for me, that was many years ago, and I was smack in between. I hate that. You never like to sit in between two big fellas, am I right? And the worst thing is your hands cannot rest on the arms. Somebody else is taking over that place. It's like encroaching over your territory. All right? And that's the kind of a feeling. You are smacked right in between two so-called giants. And it's very uncomfortable too. And that is exactly what the Israelites went through. They were smacked right in between the wilderness and the promised land. Neither here nor there. How do you like that? How do you like that you are neither here nor there? You're still not in the promised land. So you're trapped right in between Egypt or the wilderness and the promised land. And I want you to go back with me right now to Exodus, because as I see, there is a history and also there is a destiny. The destiny to the promised land, and there's a history in Egypt as well as wilderness. So in Exodus 14, I begin to picture the Israelites crossing the Red Sea and experiencing tremendous miracles in front of them. For 400 years, they were in slavery. And just one moment like this, they were all delivered. For 400 years, they were all in sorrow and mourning. And just one moment like this, they crossed and began to sing the song of deliverance. And what happened next? They complained. They complained. You see, friend, sometimes we ask ourselves, how can you complain? How can you complain after all that you have tasted? After all that you have seen? After all the word of God that you have received and have enriched your life? How can you doubt when God is the God of all resources? How can you be groping in the dark when you know that God is the light? How could you? And I begin to see this and ask, what is the impetus of their salvation? They did not cross the Red Sea as though they are men and women full of faith. Do you know, I could imagine myself looking at this water parting from left to right, and I could see them think, wow, how can this actually happen? They were not men of faith. They were not men and women of morality. But how is it that God delivered them? I'll tell you why. Because God delivered them according to their needs, not because of their deeds. It's not because your action deserves God to deliver you. God is a God of needs. He is a need-orientated God. He looks at your needs. And God wants to deliver you because of your needs. When God called me to an uncharted place, a place that is completely unknown to me in the year 1988, I trusted God with all my heart because I have only one promise that God put in me. And that was taken in Isaiah 41 in verse 10. And I read it to you. The Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a wonderful God. That word was sufficient for me to take the uncharted road to a place that is completely unknown to me and to start and pioneer a church. I only have one promise. The Lord says, fear not. Many of us don't realize that you and I are all designed with needs. Nobody in this room can ever say, I have no needs. God created us with needs. The moment you were born, you were crying out, am I right or not? And the moment you were born, they have to nourish you with milk. There is a need to grow. Somebody say amen. There is a need to grow even when the moment you were born. There is a need to grow even further. There is a need to be educated. There is a need for our social life to be improved. There is a need in every one of us, even for spiritual needs. There are people who thought they do not need God. But honestly, every one of us are designed with needs. If you check yourself, you know you have needs. And I want to take you along with me by looking at this Old Testament. Because Old Testament is the shadow of the New Testament. Are you with me? Old Testament is the shadow of the New Testament. How many of you know the shadow is always the shadow of a reality? Am I right? If you look at your shadow, because there is a reality here. And that's how you could see the shadow follows. And I want to take you along with me and envisage or visualize this whole entire journey of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. Because they are here to have a destiny that is far greater than their history. So in the midst of that, they were crossing. They were all ecstatic. There was euphoria as they were crossing. You can imagine, they were all dancing with joy when they crossed over. There was so much of excitement. And they say, wow, wow, wow. Many of them are speechless because of the miracles that God did. But then something happened. Israel suffered what we call short-term memories. Like many Christians today, the moment you plucked out that euphoria, the moment the excitement is unplugged, now the question is, who am I? The moment they crossed, they were all excited, and suddenly, the next day, things seems to be a little bit mundane. There's no more singing of songs of deliverance. There's no more excitement. And as I was thinking, it's like being a pastor, I've seen churches who loves to go for camps. And then when they went for this national camp, tens and twenties and thirties of churches got together. All their youths got together. Everybody excited. They get to see boys. They get to see girls. Yay. And the moment they had this camp for 4 days, 3 nights, the next thing, they came back. They say, wow, Pastor, the camp was so good. And you ask them, how is it good? It's so good, praising God, the singing, and the friends that we have. Man, it's so good. I gave them 3 months. Gradually, the euphoria, the ecstatic spirit began to dwindle. There is no more excitement. Why? The excitement was all because of the miracle, but not because of God. Isn't it true? Israel had a short-term memory because all they could remember was that miracle. And the moment that miracle was over, the excitement was over. And they started to complain. Why am I not excited anymore? Some of the Christians may ask. Therefore, we must ask what happened to the Israelites. This is what happened. He says, I've been taken out of Egypt, but Egypt has not been taken out of me. Listen, we have come out of the world. Sometimes the world has not been taken out of you. I pray, God, Why is it, Lord, that the people are not excited? They are not excited today because they were once upon excited for all the funds and all the entertainment and all the project. And when soon that was taken off, they lost their excitement for Jesus Christ because their excitement was never grounded in the power of the living God. I am excited for the miracle God. Amen. I'm excited for who He is. He was the one who parted the Red Sea. He was the one that delivered us. He was the one who gave me comfort. He was the one who set you free. This is what we should remember. What happened to Israelites? Israelites' mindset was not changed despite the work of God's miracle. You know, there was a time when my family, my brother and my sisters accepted the Lord. They were all excited because that was the era where they saw miracles after miracles. I saw with my own eyes, miracles after miracles. My own sister was delivered from demon possession. I saw the miracles. You don't come to me and say God is not real when I saw my own sister being delivered. I saw those things. That was the era in the early 80s when miracles were happening. But suddenly, when the miracles started to slow down, you know why? Because God was moving them from one season to another season, the season of discipleship. And all of a sudden, my brothers and my sister started to lose their faith. And I was there to tell them, this is a different season. Why are you hanging on to miracles when you should be hanging on to the miracle-working God? And so I prayed with them. And I saw there are many believers that once upon a time saw the miracle but never got excited anymore. Their mindset did not change. Christianity has become a change in their status, but not the change in their behavior. I think that a lot of Christians today, their behavior was not being challenged, but they only hold on to the new status and new position as a Christian, but not as a follower of Jesus Christ. We need to synchronize our behavior with the position. Now, can I say this to you? The present Christianity, I want you to know this, the present Christianity is this. A lot of people are creating the atmosphere of having fellowship, but not the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit movement. We had the Holy Spirit camp, but some of us are dying off right now. You never go back to the Holy Spirit anymore. When I asked you to speak in tongues, you had that in the camp, but you stopped somewhere. You need to go back and speak in tongues. Do I need to have another Holy Spirit camp? Yes, I think so. Only for you. Why are you so afraid to speak? Isn't God a good God? Isn't God a great God? He did so many things for us. Why do you need to stop? The present Christianity is driven to build a name for themselves instead of being driven for renewal and revival. Why are we so crazy for who is bigger, who is more famous? We want to build a church where revival is taking place within our own home. Are you with me? Is it happening in our own lives? Is it happening in my own circle, my own family? Is it happening? Is revival taking place? I pray God help us. The present Christianity is built on the excitement of projects rather than built on personal encounter with Jesus. We are not here to be excited just for projects. Oh, is there any more concerts going? Is there any more of this going? Is there any more camps going? Is there any more of these projects coming? Pastor, we need to have more projects to feed the poor. Are you having a personal encounter with Jesus? That is the biggest project. I pray, God, help us, Lord. Let us align our behavior with the new status that we have. To do so, brothers and sisters, there is a need for process. There is a need for process. You know, the problem with the Israelites was this at that time. They grumble in the process. And I realized why they grumble in the process. Because they were once slavery in Egypt. Now they are slaves to God. They are coming under a new master. And they do not know how to live under the new master. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 20. He says, in the past, you were slaves to sin and goodness did not control you. You did evil things and now you are ashamed of them. Those things only bring death, but now you are free. Somebody say amen. But now you are free from sin and have become slaves of God. Did you see that word? You were once slaves to sin, but now you are slaves of God. The word slave is not a bad connotation. The word slaves means servant. It's servants of God. This brings you a life that is only for God, and this gives you life forever. Living under the new master is possible only when we go through the divine process. We have now become the citizen in the kingdom of God. Are you with me? We become the citizen of the kingdom of God. And becoming a citizen of the kingdom of God, we have now been separated from the world. We build our new allegiance to the new master. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. That's what the new kingdom of God is all about. And by the way, Matthew chapter 5 verse 20 says this, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven." That means when I'm into the kingdom of heaven, my commitment to a higher moral standard of living is beginning to take place. There is a reason that we are in the process. You know why? Because my God not only is a God that is need-orientated God, but He is also a process-orientated God. He will do that in line of your life. There will be process to go through. Because I often wonder why He led them into the wilderness. You see, wilderness is never a place for holiday. It's not a nice place to build a holiday hotel. Wilderness is a place where you don't have much resources. Wilderness is not a place where you and I would just want to relax and sit back. There is nothing much for you to see. You can't be sitting down on your couch and look across and say, "What a beautiful scent." You will not even say that. Wilderness is not a good place for you to settle down. However, the Bible told me otherwise. He showed me that wilderness is the place where God revealed Himself. It is the place where God did the most miracles. It is the place where God actually provides for you. And if any one of you think that you are in the wilderness land right now, I want you to realize that it is the place where God wants you to be completely dependent on Him. It is a place where He demands you to trust in Him completely. Amen. Because that's the place where He performed His miracle. That's the miracle of God in the wilderness. However, I look at all this provision, the manna coming from heaven above, providing them water from the rock, fighting against the Amalekites. My Lord, this is a miracle of God in the wilderness. And you probably think this. They should be excited, isn't it? But they were not. In fact, the Bible says that one day they got up and they said they want to go back to Egypt. They want to go back to Egypt. After all the miracles that God had done in the wilderness, yet somebody said, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to the garlic and the cucumber. We want to go back for all this old food. Now, bear in mind, being the citizen of Australia doesn't take my favorite fruit away. You understand what I'm saying? Here, because they lived so long in Egypt, they've been trained and shaped up and cultured in Egypt to the point when they left, they still think back of going to where they once were comfortable at. You know, some of us are very comfortable with the world, and asking you to live like a radical Christian is like trying to pull the buffalo through. It's so hard. You know why? The reason is because we are so used to our old ways. We live with our old life. I remember one time there was this article that told us about the true story that took place between this lady and a beggar. And she actually took this beggar with her and she actually cleaned him up and washed him up thoroughly. Gave him food, gave him a comfortable environment to live in. And he went living in that environment for about a week. And soon after, she noticed that he was not in the house. And she went around looking for him and discovered that he went back to his old life. And this also happened in Philippines. When a lot of churches from Singapore and Malaysia would go to this big, huge, humongous dump yard, they will pick up children from that rubbish area. And they will wash them, bathe them, put them in this special orphanage. And I went to this orphanage place, and it was a big place. The system, the programs, they are tremendous. They were a great blessing to all the kids. Then I sat down with this main person who is in charge. And I was just listening to his stories. He says, we have picked up all of these kids, but there are some of them. They never want to stay through that clean life. After a month or two, they went back. And lo and behold, you can easily find them again. Where? The same place where they were taken off. And you can see the clothing were all smelly, stinking. And they're so comfortable with those smells. I realize today the Lord is saying to us, my destiny is greater than my history. We cannot go on living that life and expect to reach the promised land. We can't go on thinking about the history and expect that our destiny will be great. I want you to look at this book of John chapter 6 again. Listen to the scripture. So they ask him, what sign then will you give that you may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you. It is not Moses who has given you. Listen to this. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He says, sir, they said, always give us this bread. You know what Jesus is saying to all these scholars? These scholars were thinking, Moses was the real deal. He gave us the bread. But Jesus said, no, no, no. Moses is not the real deal. I am the bread. Somebody say amen. Jesus said, I am the bread. You know what Jesus is saying? He says, listen to this. I am more than enough. Are you with me? I am more than enough. You know, there are people who said in their past, they said they have been hit by many different misfortunes. But the moment Jesus came and met their needs, they cried out, Lord, you are more than enough. Some of us today, we never felt enough. We really never felt. And I'll tell you why. Because we do not know Jesus is more than enough. That's why we constantly feel we are not enough. I don't want to invite my friends to my house because my house is not big enough. No, I don't want to see any of my friends because I'm not pretty enough. No, I do not want to sing because I'm not good enough. And oftentimes, we hinder our potential. We pull ourselves away from the potential because we are oftentimes saying, I am not good enough. Yet Jesus says, I am good enough for you. It's no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. Can somebody say amen to that? So therefore, Jesus is more than enough for you. You know why he's more than enough? His grace is sufficient, am I right or not? His love is everlasting. The Bible says his mercy endures forever. And the Bible also says, my power perfect you in your weakness. He is more than enough. And I want to let you know that the Bible describes of him that will tell us that he is more than enough for us. The Bible says he is my comforter. Am I right or not? He is my peace that has broken down many of these walls. He is my peace. He is the answer when your hands are all empty. He is more than enough for us. Jesus is more than enough. Therefore, I can declare my destiny is definitely greater than my history. He is the consuming fire. He burns the dross of my sin. Truly, Jesus is more than enough. He has given and provided me from his eternal riches. I believe Jesus is more than enough. I know that every time when I find my road is coming to the cul-de-sac or coming to an end, I do not know where to go anymore. Jesus said, I am the way. Truly, he is more than enough. I do not know what you may go through, but I can say this. Declare today that your destiny is greater than your history. I do not know what your past may hold you back, but I know that God promises that the destiny he gave us is definitely greater than our history. I have seen it for myself. All that I have done, all that I have gone through in life, and I can say today, coming out of it, and I say, my destiny is definitely greater than my history. You believe that you have that too. Jesus said that he will not abandon us. I believe he's more than enough for us. Jesus said that he will not forsake us. I believe he's more than enough for us. When you say that when you are in need, he is your supply. He is your provider. Truly, he is more than enough. I do not know what you may go through, but the Bible keeps telling me that he is my shepherd that will lead me to the green pasture. I believe he is more than enough. I believe every day when you get up in the morning not knowing what to do, he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me, I will grant you wisdom. Come unto me, I will give you strength. I believe Jesus is more than enough. And when Jesus is more than enough, I believe that my destiny can be greater than my history. Somebody said amen. But we all need to walk through the process. We do not get ourselves stuck between our present state and the promises of God. Can I ask you this question? Rhetorical question. Isn't God a need-orientated God? Isn't God a process-orientated God? Isn't God the God of miracles in the wilderness? Can't you and I declare that Jesus is more than enough? Someone said this, and I will say it unto you. When life is tough, God is always tougher. Isn't God more than enough for us? I believe with all my heart that life is not measured by what you have, but life is measured by how much Christ has on you. I believe He is more than enough. With that, I say it to you and I declare with all my heart, with God, my destiny is greater than my history. Somebody saying, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.